I appreciate you being here. Today is June the 12th. June the 12th, 2022. And again, we're going to start on the second part of this lesson. I did not get it all finished last Sunday. I tried, but sometimes you just can't get it all in there. But this lesson series is entitled, Where is Your Church Going? It's going to be from the book of 1 Timothy. But last week, I was trying to cover some things with you about the church and the birth of the church and how that God set up the church for a special purpose. And we looked at several things last week. We looked at how the church was established. We looked at the birth. We looked at several things as far as church growth, how that the church began to grow. When they gave out the message of the gospel, we saw how that God blessed that. And the Word of God, it grew, and the Word of God prevailed, even though there were characters there that were trying to do everything they could do to stop the spreading of the gospel. And you know what? They couldn't do it because God was in control of it. And that's what we need in our churches today. We need godly churches preaching the Word of God and not trying to do all this newfangled mess to try to get a crowd. Anything can draw a crowd. But our job is to give the gospel. And as we give the gospel, then God sends folks in. And you know what? He grows His church. This is His church. It's not ours. It's His church. And man, I thank God. Thursday night, man, we had such great time out visiting. And we had been visiting. Brother Bob and I were visiting some new move-ins. And we went back to follow up on some of them last week that didn't get to come. They were sick. And I noticed last week, across the road, down the road where we were at, and across Green Street, there was a man sitting on his front porch watching us. Now, this is a good ways away. It's a good distance away. I noticed it last week, and by the time we got done, it was already late, and I didn't have a chance to go back over there and see him. We went back to those houses this Thursday night, and we're going to check up on those folks that got saved last week. And I told Brother Bob, I said, that man is sitting out there watching us again tonight. And I said, we got to go around over there and visit him, find out what's going on, and just, you know, let him know who we are and all this stuff. So we went over there and had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And he was, what, 70? 72. 72. Just sitting there watching the traffic go by and watching everybody else. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. And man, it is amazing to see how God just takes the little things. And you know what? He was kind, and we just wanted him to know, you know, we weren't out there doing anything bad. You know, two guys in white suits were not out there, or regular suits were not out there trying to, you know, take off anybody or anything like that. We're just taking the Word of God everywhere. And but he listened, and he got saved, and man, we had a great night. But you know what? We get to see folks get saved, and the Word of God prevails. It prevails. And today, I want us to look at this thing. God had a specific plan for His church. And He had a specific plan for the men that He would choose to lead that church and the manner in which He would choose them. And I want you today, we're going to get to 1 Timothy. Believe me, we really are. But let me take you back to the book of Acts just a moment, okay? Acts chapter number 9. I want you to see something. When I first got saved, and I was a 15 and a half year old young man, got saved through the bus ministry there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I just thank God for the bus ministry. Man, I do. But my Sunday school teacher, and one of the guys, he went to Brother Joe Shore. He went to Hiles Anderson, and he gave me a Bible before he left. I wanted to give him a Bible or something special for him going to college. And he gave me a Bible. Now, I had had one. You got to remember, I was lost. And I was just wandering around trying to figure out all kinds of things. And I had a Bible. And I know you'll think I'm crazy when I tell you this, but I was part of the Tar Heel UFO study group. And these guys taught. And they, let me tell you this, they taught from the Bible about how the aliens came to this earth, okay? Aliens, you know? The book of Ezekiel, okay? All the wheels and all these things, those were UFOs. Oh, that's what they taught. And I had a Bible and I'd marked all kinds of stuff in there and said, wow, aliens back then, wow. Did an alien save me then? And all this stuff. And I was just confused about a lot of things. But you know what? These men of God, they showed me the truth from the Word of God. And he got me a Bible. And he said, now you read the Bible as you ought to read it. And let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you and direct you. And I thank God for that. And when I was in pastor school and would go up to the college up there and things like that, man, I watched and I saw how that God took his word and he called men to preach his word. And a year after I had been saved, God got to deal with my heart. And I was kind of stubborn. You know the story. My goal was to go into the Air Force and I was going to be a flight surgeon and a pilot and all this other stuff. That was my goal. But God had a different plan. And I began to read here in Acts chapter 9 how that God took a man that had his own agenda, and God took that man, saved him, changed him, called him to get the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And you know what? That story about Saul and later on being Paul, I read in Acts chapter 9 and then went to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8, he said, therefore unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that conviction drew me to know that God wanted me to preach instead of doing the other things I had to plan. Now, God chose his leadership in this early church. And you know what? God chose folks that, man, I don't know that we would ever have chosen to do anything for God because they were enemies of the church. But as you read in this story, I want you to see how that God was about to prove to all the world that his soul-saving, life-changing power could take anybody and use them for anything that he chose to do. And I want you to look at it here with me. Acts chapter 9. I want to start in verse number 1. The Bible talks about and it records this great event in the life of a man called Saul of Tarsus. The Bible said, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. I was amazed when I moved here to Maryland 11 years ago that there was a place up here called Damascus. And I was on that road to Damascus, all right, traveling to visit some folks. And I thought, man, is he going to appear? What's going to happen here? But the Bible said that as Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind by that great light. Look what the Bible said. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, have you not read the news? Have you not heard? Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Bible talks about how that this man Saul of Tarsus, after he was saved and God called him, God anointed him, he filled him with his power to preach the word of God. The Bible said that Paul himself testifies over in the book of Galatians. I want you to turn there. Galatians chapter 1. And I want you to look at this today, how that Paul gives this testimony of what happened in his life. He gives this testimony of what happened to him. And he said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24, he said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, think about this just a minute. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. You know what? The man that used to go around and put Christians to death, he calls them to blaspheme the name of God. He put them into prison, had papers, documents to take care of all of those of that way, the way of Christ. Now, he was preaching the word of God. And God used this man. And God had a mighty plan when he chose this man, the Apostle Paul, we call him today. God had a plan. And Paul was not only going to preach the gospel to those that were lost, but now he was going to set in order. He was going to set in order the things that were wanting. And he was going to ordain elders in every city. And he was going to train those men that God had called to preach to be pastors, to be those elders, to be those deacons that needed to be in those early churches so that they could grow for the cause of Christ. It's amazing to see what God can do with someone who is just simply willing to trust him, to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you see, God didn't save Paul nor train him to keep all that information to himself. Paul didn't say, well, I've got all this knowledge and I'm just going to write books and I'm going to sell great books and all these things. He didn't keep this information to himself. What was in his heart, he shared with others. Man, aren't you glad that he did? Amen? That man that we talked to, I told you about last week, the Jewish man that's down at the Best Western, I thanked him. He said, well, I'm a Jew. I don't know if I'd be welcome in your church. I said, man, we love the Jewish people. Were it not for the Jewish converts, we wouldn't have the Word of God that we have today. And you know what? Paul was used of God in a great way. I want you to turn now to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to see this, how that God chose this man not to keep this information to himself, but to give it to others. Just like he saved you and me today, he has saved us for a purpose, and that is to give out the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. Look at what he said. I'm sorry, yeah, chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. He said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul had a responsibility. He had a responsibility. I remember when I got saved, I'd already told folks I was saved. I was part of the Moravian church. You know, I was trying to do my best, to do my duty, to be better, you know, than I was bad, okay? Hopefully my good deeds would outweigh my bad deeds. But you know what? Those things did not change my heart. And when I got saved, I thought to myself, well, if I tell anybody, they're going to think I'm crazy. So I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just not going to tell anybody that I got saved. But you know what? The Spirit of God began to work a work in my heart and my life. And I couldn't keep it in. Man, it's like taking a soda pop and shaking it up. And then, man, it was just boiling on the inside. And, man, when the lid came off, the rest came out. And, I mean, it just went everywhere. I couldn't help but want to tell folks about what Christ had done for me. I believe that's what Paul was writing about here. He said, man, I've got to go and tell. God has called me to do this. I can't help but go and tell folks about Jesus. And here in 1 Timothy now, in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Amen? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. God chose his leaders. And now we see how that God's leadership is groomed for the job that needs to be done. As Paul writes to Timothy here in verses 1 and 2, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. And these first two verses, we look at this thing and we see this apostle's great love for this young man named Timothy. We see how that he had a steadfast love. And he wanted to help Timothy in his teaching and in his position that God was going to use him. And you know, it's always good to have somebody much older. That's why I like Pastor Belcher. Now, he's not a whole lot older than I am, okay? But he's been around a lot longer than I have. He got saved long before I did. But you know what? He has taught us the Word of God, has he not? He has preached to us those things of the Word of God. He loves those men of God that have answered God's call to preach. And we've seen how that many of the folks that got saved here in this church are now in different areas of the United States, in the world, preaching the gospel. When Dr. Smith was here and Brother Mike got saved, and you know, God used the message of the Word of God to speak to hearts. And everywhere we go, somebody has made a difference in someone else's life. And here, the Apostle Paul, he had made a difference in this young man Timothy's life. No doubt he had led him to Christ. No doubt this young man was special to the Apostle Paul. And he wanted to help him. He had a reward in Timothy. He got to see the power of God working in this young man's life. And you got to remember, Paul was awaiting execution. He was waiting to be put to death for the cause of Christ. And now, in those last days before his execution, his death, he is trying to encourage another man of God. He wasn't looking down. He wasn't having a pity party. But he was encouraged about the fact that he could encourage Timothy. And Paul's steadfast love and his diligent teaching in the life of Timothy was indeed for him a great and an eternal investment. That's why Sunday school is so important. When we bring these boys and girls in on the Sunday school buses, the special needs groups up here in Good Shepherds, each of us here today, you know what? This church is making an investment in eternity. We're making an investment in eternity. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, the Apostle Paul was more than just a soul winner. He was more than just one that gave out and gave the good news of the gospel to those who needed to hear it. But he was one that loved those converts. He loved them, and he wanted them to grow in the Lord. And folks, that's why we try to bring folks to church. After they get saved, we give them the gospel, and we try to get them into the Word of God, get them into the house of God where they can learn more about living for God so that they too can go out and share the message of the gospel with those around them. That's what it's all about. And that's the plan that God had for this man. He was a spiritual father who loved all those that he led to Christ. And he wanted them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to grow. He wanted them to live faithfully for the Lord. And that should be our prayer today for this church, for this ministry. Everything that we do, whatever we do, we ought to do it not only to win folks to Christ, but to see them grow for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that one day, they can be used of God in a great and mighty way. Paul was grooming Timothy here. He tried to encourage him. He took the time to teach those men that he had seen saved and come into the ministry, and he wanted to help them. And so, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 just a moment. And I want you to look at the first three verses in that chapter. We see the heart of love that Paul had here for Timothy. And he said to him in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he encouraged him, he exhorted him, and he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses? The same commit thou to faithful men. For what purpose? Why was Timothy to commit this word of God to these other men? Look what he said. That they shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Folks, the day in which we are living today needs to see some good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be taking what we have learned from the Word of God and sharing it with others and helping them to grow in the Word of God so that they, wherever God sends them, wherever God takes them, they can have the Word of God. We commit that to faithful men and women who can be able to go out and teach others also. Mrs. Bednar was telling me, where's she at? There she is, yeah. She was down on the down near New Bern in Newport area, North Carolina, this past week. And while she was there waiting, one of the folks from Brother Clyde Ebron's church, Brother Clyde just was promoted to heaven just a few weeks ago, and he was 92 years old, had the Fundamental Broadcasting Network. Our church down in North Carolina was a part of that. And he passed away. And while she's standing there waiting, a lady came up from that church, didn't know her, and gave her a gospel tract, wanted to give her some good news. And you know what? They had sweet fellowship together. You know why? Because somebody cared for somebody else. All the way down in North Carolina. Witnessed one of these Yankees up here, you know, Maryland area. But you know what? Listen, that's the joy of it, that we get to commit to someone else the message of the gospel, and then they in turn take it to others. They take it to someone else. And so Paul was trying to help him to be able to do the job that God had called him to do. And what a blessing Paul's leadership must have been to this young man, Timothy. What a blessing it must have been for somebody that had been through all the trials and all the storms of this life and had experienced both good times and bad times. And he was sitting in a jail now, waiting to be executed. And yet he's taking the time to encourage this young man of God. We go back to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. And I want you to see here how that a pastor and a people are counseled. They're counseled. No matter what the situation is within a body of believers, in a church body of believers, no matter what the situation is, God has a perfect plan. And God desires to prepare His people for the battles that lie ahead within the ministry. You know, sometimes God allows the battles to come so that He might strengthen us to continue faithful in the battle. Sometimes I've heard people say, man, I'm going through so much. I just wish the Lord would come back today. There are times I felt that same way. I'm sure a pastor has. But you know what? Listen, God has us here for a purpose. He's got you here for a purpose. He's got you in the place where you are for a purpose. And that is to share the message of the gospel. And listen, don't think that just because you're saved and just because you have a good old Bible in your possession and just because you attend a good church that you're going to be battle-free if you live for God. Listen, if you live for God, you're going to face some battles. You're going to face the adversary. We are in a spiritual battle today, folks. So don't be discouraged when the devil attacks you. You need to be encouraged and say, well, hey, you know what? God is using me, so I'm going to stay in the book and let the book stay in me, and I'm going to continue to fight in the battle. No doubt Timothy was very happy to have Paul encouraging him, strengthening him, showing him how to live for God so that when the battles come, he wouldn't be disheartened, be discouraged, and just quit along the way. But God, who is aware of all of our trials, He's aware of every heartache that we go through, He knows how the devil is, His desire is going to be to stop you. His desire was to stop Timothy. His desire was to do away with Paul. And folks, you got to remember something. One of these days, each of us are going to be off the scene. If the Lord tarries His coming, each of us are going to face the chilling hand of death. We're going to face it one day. But folks, we need now to be encouraging those that we win to Christ, those that are in our church, that are growing. We need to encourage them so that when we're off the scene, they can continue on faithfully. This church has been here now, what, 55 years? 55 years, I think, this year. And for 55 years, this church has been faithful, faithful, faithful to get the gospel to all the area in Carroll County, parts of, Pennsylvania. I mean, God has been faithful. But folks, listen to me. We are just one generation away from being a has-been. Every church is just one generation away from being a used to be. And God doesn't want that. And God wanted Timothy to carry on that message. And Paul tried to encourage him. And look what he said in verses 12 through 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1. God led Paul through the Holy Spirit to write this to Timothy. And he said, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You know what Paul was telling Timothy here? He said, "Timothy, don't lose faith in God. No matter how hard the battle gets, no matter how trying the trials become," he said, "I want you to remember something. God is able to do what men think is impossible." He said, "I was injurious. I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. And God took me and did what he did for me. And he called me to preach the word of God. And if God could do this for me, God can use you to do the same thing for him." In 1 Timothy chapter 3, which are this week's theme verses, I want you to look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He writes the reason for his letter going to Timothy. And he said here, he said, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come to you unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Folks, there is a way that you and I are to behave today in the house of God. We're to be found faithful. We're to be found faithful to do what God has saved us to do. This lesson was entitled "Problems Churches Face." You know what? The church is made up of believers, and each of us are going to face problems. But our duty unto God is to stay faithful to Him in the midst of those problems. We're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I think about that little song we sang a few weeks ago in class. Jesus never fails. All the things in this world may change. And boy, we've seen a lot of things change in our world, getting worse and worse and worse. But folks, Jesus never fails. Jesus is there to help us. And when we're going through the hard times and when we're battling with the problems of this old life and battles that face every Bible preaching church, every pastor, every member that's saved, as we face these churches, We need to remember that we don't face these problems in our own power. We face it in the power of His might and not our own. We're to serve Him. We're to allow the Word of God to stay in us. But in order for that to happen, we have to choose to get in the book, to stay in the Word of God. And Paul encouraged Timothy. He counseled that people to stay in the Word of God, to remember what Christ had done for them so that they in turn could go out and do something great for God. That's what I want to challenge you to do today. Let's bow our heads just a minute. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Oh, may that be our desire today. Father, I love you today. And I thank you, Lord, for reaching down one day and saving me as a young 15 and a half year old kid. Lord, I'd ridden that bus to church. I knew so many other boys and girls that needed to be saved, but I didn't see myself as needing a Savior. But God, one day you changed my heart. And God, you brought before me my need of salvation. And you saved me. And then you called me to preach your word. And Lord, I want to be found faithful for you today. Lord, I want to watch in all things. Lord, I want to be willing to endure the afflictions. I want to do the work of an evangelist and to make full proof of your ministry. You're calling me into the ministry. And Lord, the folks in this Sunday school class want to do the same thing. Please help us, God, today to be found faithful, to keep our eyes on you, to stay in the Word of God, and Lord, to tell others about the soul-saving message that changes lives for all eternity. Lord, if there be someone in this class or someone that's going to be listening to this lesson later through the internet, Lord, I pray, God, if they're lost and they need a Savior, God, that you would draw them through your word, your precious holy word, draw them today to see their need of a Savior. And help them, God, to come to know you today. Accept you today as their own personal Savior. Strengthen our pastor. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll keep him on fire for you. Be with Brother Wells this morning, Lord, as he preaches to us. Lord, help us to go into that service with an empty bucket in our heart and looking for it to be filled from the preaching today. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today, folks. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.